Hello, everybody. Welcome back for another episode of I Do, I Did, I Don't. I am Lori Wood, here with my partner in crime and partner in podcast, Steve Fatula from McCoy Fatula.
Morning, everyone.
Today, we thought we'd cover, although we could sit and talk about anything and everything under the sun, today we thought we'd cover custody and visitation and what that can look like in a separation or divorce or just a relationship if you have kids. It can apply in several scenarios, but it's always when you have children and you're going through a breakup or, you know, a separation, divorce, that is a very important thing for the parents. How do we navigate that? What does that look like? What can the courts do? What should I do? And it can turn into these problems because you're trying to control the other household. So we're going to try and touch all kinds of topics and hope it inspires, educates, and somewhat entertains people along the way.
I think that's fair. And I think custody obviously is the biggest thing.
Yes.
Or at least the first biggest thing. It's not dollars, but it's obviously where the fight starts. The family physically breaks up, moving houses. Obviously, how are the kids going to deal with this is something that gets brought up pretty early on.
And how do you tell the kids gets brought up really early on?
And I think we're probably going to reach out and bring a therapist on and have that conversation because it's a real one that's not our wheelhouse.
No, and there's no right way, but there is a better way.
Correct. And the courts are going to want you not to talk to your kids about any of it. But like just the practical part of like all of a sudden mom or dad's not in the house anymore. Like obviously the conversation is going to happen.
Yeah, they're going to know something's going on. So I've had clients that have made things up, you know, dad's been on an extended work trip for like 2 years and that's not a great thing.
No,
but we will bring someone in to help our listeners deal with or get ideas on how to break the news to the kids, how to support them going through it. But for today, our focus is on kind of what it looks like.
Yeah, so let's kind of simplify and demystify what we're talking about. So custody, California, two parts, right? You have legal custody and you have physical custody, and that gets confusing in and of itself. The value of each is confusing in and of itself. And then beyond that, you have the visitation schedule, or the parenting schedule, or whatever you want to call it. And that's kind of where the fights tend to end up. And then there's different ways to approach it and different things to think about through the process. So let's kind of like start with what is, right? What is legal custody? What is physical custody?
I love that because people get that confused or don't know and don't want to give up something that they think they're giving up when it's not actually happening.
Correct. And then the other part of that is, you know, your friends will be helpful during this process, but
They'll be emotionally supportive, but don't take legal advice from them.
And chill out when they say you need full or sole because, you know.
Or this happened to me and I did this because no two cases are the same.
No two cases. I think we could have a situation where there's twins and there's just wouldn't be the same.
100%.
Twins on that. All twins.
If you're listening.
That divorce, yeah.
Come on in.
It's got to be different. We're going to figure it out. All right. So legal custody is really about making legal decisions about the child or children. Right. So think about making school decisions, making medical decisions, breaking that down a little bit, making a mental health decision, making vaccination decisions, making, I don't know, anything that falls along
birth control decisions, birth control, vaccinations.
Yeah. Anything you're going to run across where you have to make a yes or a no. And the reality is most situations, most times, right, the court's expecting both parents to be a part of these decisions.
And they should.
And then
in best case scenario, yes,
for the large part, like you made these kids, absent this disagreement that ended the relationship, you should still be working together to make these kids.
Yes, because you're a shitty spouse doesn't mean you're a shitty parent.
And that's absolutely fair. And the problem is this is, you know, the first thing people throw out the window.
Yeah.
Everyone's pissed. Everyone hates each other and totally understand it. You know, during the divorce process, especially emotions are high.
Sure. Divorce sucks.
Divorce sucks. There's no other way to say it. But this is about who's going to make decisions about the kids. And if you're expecting or asking the court to make you the only one making the decision, just understand that you need to be able to justify why it's best for the child or children to only have you making decisions. And there's justified reasons.
Certainly.
Substance issues, physical abuse, things like that. But most of it's not there.
Right? Of it's emotional.
Most of it's
you're
emotional.
Angry. And the court really wants the two people who brought these children into the world to continue to be involved emotionally, financially, and parent.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I think with legal custody, we could probably spend an entire episode on just legal custody and what we've seen.
Right.
So I think from a gloss over, we're going to move to what physical custody is. Physical custody is a little bit odder. It's just kind of where the child resides. But it's the same statement, right? The court's expecting to some degree to have this kid or children to be at both houses at some point, right? It does not mean 50-50. It does not mean anything. It just means yes or no. Are they going to, one, for legal, both parents are going to make decisions, yes or no. Are they going to stay? The kid's going to stay at both houses? Yes or no? Like, that's the basic way of understanding
that. Right. And there's lots of different types of legal. There's sole physical, joint legal.
Yeah. So
same thing. So if you're.
Yeah. Let's get into this. So then, like, how is the custody held? Right. So you're either going to have it as a sole or full. So think, well, I hate doing the percentages. Think 100%. So sole right. custody is 100%. You could have sole legal, which means you make all the decisions. You could have sole physical, which means the child only resides with you. Or you can have joint. And those are really your options. Right. And joint, again, is not a percentage, but for purposes of discussing it,
both parties are involved.
50-50. In decision making, right. And both, then the kid's going to reside at both homes, right? So those are the custody issues, and then people go, "Well, does it matter?" And that's probably the most important thing to think about. Does it matter? So, do you and your spouse, or ex spouse, or the parent, or whatever we want to call the other party status, do you guys disagree about major issues? So major issues to the court, school, right? Because you can't both put the kid in. You know, Roseville school and San Juan school district somewhere. Like, you can't.
Right, your homeschool versus public school.
Or homeschool versus public school. Right. Where you can't have both a vaccination and not a vaccination. Like, you right. can't take it out when you're not with mom and put the vaccination. Like, it's. There's practical.
That's creepy to think
it's
about.
It's so creepy. I said that at a seminar because it crossed my mind. I was like, oh, this is logical. And everyone's face dropped. And I was like, oh, that's too much of an okay.
Because well, you immediately go it. To how they would take the vaccine. Right. Oh, yeah, that's okay.
So but now I use that all the time.
Yeah, I like it because you want to see the faces drop.
It sets them to go, oh.
Yeah.
So like, and there's not, again, there's not situations where that usually happens. So with school, it's probably going to happen once, right? So do you have this issue where you're trying to fight over school? Because how people interpret custody is really where it comes down to what is the cost of what you're doing. So if you think that the other side, if you ask for sole custody, isn't going to flip out, you're wrong. If you think the other side's not going to find that to be them losing the parental rights, even though that's not happening, you're wrong. A lot right. of people that come to us go, I asked for this, and now they're mad. And you go, yeah, yeah, were they mad?
Because if they asked you, how right? would you take it?
Yeah. And the first question is like, oh, what did they do? Well, they didn't do anything. Then why'd you ask for it like this? My friend said I needed it. And then you just go, ugh. So you just said, I want the other parent to not have a decision in this case, not because they've done something wrong, but because you want it. That's not what's best for the kids. And the courts are going to see through that.
Yeah.
And you're going to set up basically the path from this point to the end of whatever, where it's always hate. And that right. just sucks.
You just like fired you, the first shot and didn't even know it.
And didn't even need care. It. Didn't care. None of it happened. So like that part sucks. So you always want to make sure you're focusing on these things with like a very practical approach. And again, there's times I want my kid to go to this school because it's the best school and the other parent doesn't. Okay, that's a fight. It has to happen. Someone's got to win, quote unquote, to make the decision. And the courts don't want to make the decision. They're going to try to pick a parent, let the parent make the decision because they don't want to hold that part.
No, and what they want is what's in the best interest of the children.
Always.
So no, what yes. you said, if it's the better school for the child.
Correct.
And there's real reasons why that argument, that parent is more than likely to be successful in the court because the court also wants what's best. And sometimes the parents don't have that at the forefront.
No, a lot of what people will do is it takes me too long to drive. You know, it's usually about me instead of about
inconveniencing the parent.
Yeah. And that's just if you're going to go to court, it's the wrong approach because the court is not going to like that stance. So okay, we talked a little bit about the custody side of this. Physical custody, just for discussion really quick. The only time it's kind of important, it is important in this scenario, is if you're intending to move. So we talked about this during the seminars as well. If you have sole physical and you try to move, you have to ask the court's permission. So assuming there's a conflict and assuming the other side doesn't agree.
Right.
If you have sole physical, you will very likely be permitted to move because the analysis changes where the court looks at you going, I assume what you're doing is right. Then looks to the other parent and goes, prove me wrong. Right. And obviously that's not the the legal status here, right, or the legal stance of what they're doing. But
that parent that's asking has been the involved parent while the other one has been kind of absent.
And that's
so it's a real hard hill to climb.
Correct. That's how the court sees it, at least. So even if they're involved in potentially a 50-50, but one parent has sole physical, that sole physical one's going to have really, really the likelihood of what they request to happen.
And go back for a minute, because this is where people get confused. Mm-hmm. Someone can have sole physical, but 50-50.
Yeah. Yeah.
Correct. So people get very confused because 50-50 means shared.
Yep.
But sole means.
Yeah. So think of it as like, if you went to a court and asked that, no, that wouldn't happen.
Right.
But that's not what always happens, right? What people tend to do is there's that order in the beginning, and then they change pieces of the order, and they don't change that part. So
100%. Life changes, job changes, schools change.
Yeah. And there's people that will go and agree to the other spouse having sole custody for whatever purpose. That's what they agreed to, or the court ordered it, or maybe there's domestic violence. There's some justification years before. And then years later, they want to change the time, the schedule, but they don't think twice about the custody part. And usually it's hand in hand. But again, in the cases where we've dealt with it, that's not what happens.
Right.
And then you go, hey, so you requested to change the schedule, but not custody. And now in response, that person is looking to move and leave the county. And all of a sudden we have a really bad situation because you don't have joint custody.
Whether you've been exercising it all this time or not.
Correct.
Their court's going back to the last court order.
Correct. And it's probably that's worth segue into kind of like levels of value of things, which is really, really, really useless of an explanation. But people have agreements all the time.
Right.
Right. And agreements are great until they don't work. And then they're useless.
Until one person forgets that they have that agreement or changes their mind or that kind of thing.
Correct. Because it's not enforceable. Right. So there's nothing. And we always think of it like, if you call the police, what can the police do? Because if the police can't do it, then it ain't happening today. And then that kind of trickles down on what needs to happen.
And they don't do it based on what you say.
They don't.
They need something tangible.
They do, because the other side will not agree with you, right, or we wouldn't be in this situation. Right?
Or the police would not be called.
Right. Exactly. So think of it as like the gradient of value. The least valuable thing is a verbal agreement, because no one's going to agree that they said that when it doesn't benefit them anymore. Then you have written agreements, right? A text and things. That's better. You could show an officer and go, hey, look, he said he'd bring back our child at this time. And the police could call them and go, look, you did say that, do this, and try to encourage. But again, if the other parent says no, they have no authority to do anything. So it's, again, better than verbal, but it's not end all be all. Then you have things where you have, you know, a stipulation, you know, an attorney types it up. Again, it's better because it's more formal, but it's not enforceable until a judge signs it. And then you have that last piece of an order. When a judge signs it, there you go. Now the police can enforce it. The problem is it a good order or a bad order? And we've seen plenty that are not clear.
Yes.
And the police officers are not there to interpret. And if it's not clear and it's up for argument,
they're just going to step away.
It's probably going to be, this is a civil issue. Go to court. And then you're filing a motion to verify. But that's when all these things are going to play. All the evidence, all the behaviors, all that stuff. So that's just something kind of to poke at, because we have a lot of people that go, well, the order said this from, you know, 3 years ago, but we actually practiced this other thing. And my response is always the same. That's great. But if he or she changes their mind, you go backwards 3 years and there's nothing anyone can do.
No. And you could go to court and make the argument, hey, I know this was the court order 3 years ago, but we've been exercising this schedule. And I'm asking you to keep it this way because the children are thriving. The grades are great. All the things. So it is an argument, but there are never any guarantees when you go to court.
No, but if we're hedging bets, that's a good one, right? Because if that's what's been practiced, the courts are looking at like the last 6 months. They can always consider things, but like the last 6 months is the window we care about. So if that's what you've been doing for the last 6 months, a motion to formalize the actual schedule is a pretty easy motion for everyone to get behind, even if there's opposition once it gets in front of the court. You just need proof. Right. And then that segues us into the next thing. And we've talked about this on some of the other podcasts. Evidence or proof is, you know, there's varying degrees of this. Do you have, what's your proof? Well, I know he said it, so I'll tell the court. Well, you have some verbal testimony. That's good, I guess, but kind of useless.
It's on the weaker scale.
It's on the weaker scale. It's there technically, but, you know, it's not the best. Then you have things like text messages. They're a little better, right?
Because they're a little better, but now they can be altered.
Now they can be altered. Unless
they're in one of those apps that we've also discussed. And we said Talking Wizard, and I don't think that's the one, but I love that.
Talking Parents or Family Wizard are the two common ones we use. So that would be better because that's something that in theory the court can look on the back end and see not changed. And then you have, you know, the formal written agreements that are always the best thing.
Which you don't have to go to court necessarily to change an agreement to modify an order. You two can agree. You can together have somebody, an attorney, an LDA draft this. Just make sure if you do that, you have an attorney review it to make sure it reads what you want. But you don't always have to file a motion, get before a judge and have the judge decide. It can be something, this is working better for the kids. Let's put it on paper, change the order ourselves.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. You never, in theory, you don't ever have to go to court or anything.
Right.
In theory, you don't even need an order if everybody is following it and never has an issue. But we don't.
There's the caveat. Never has an issue.
We don't live in this world. New relationships tend to create new issues.
I was just going to say that when a third party comes in and that baggage or opinion or emotion of the third party can change things a lot.
It often changes things.
In fact, we ask clients all the time, well, what changed? Is there a girlfriend or a boyfriend or... most of the time, the answer is yes.
Most of the time, it's somebody trying to present some authority.
Yes.
Overstepping in the role.
Wanting them all to themselves.
Yeah. And
or their divorce didn't turn out right, so let's get vengeance here.
Yep. Definitely the worst kind of cases to deal with because you're really trying to manage a third party that has nothing to do with the case.
Right.
But the influence is very real.
And it's human nature. It happens.
Fair.
But again... it's the parents who should be putting the best interest of the kids first and co-parenting and nobody else.
That in theory is the best answer.
Right.
In practice, you know.
Yeah. I mean.
People are people.
There are blended families all the time that have great success and wonderful step parents. I hate that term. But, you know, new families that are loving and things work out. But it's just best not to let your new relationship influence.
The courts are going to look at you as the problem if you can't handle that part. Because the kids from the court, well, from everyone's standpoint, the kids have to come first, right? And if you can't put the kids first, while that may be your choice for your new relationship, you're going to end up losing the kids. Because the court, if they hear that, that's not good. Because your role should be to the kids first and foremost, and then everybody else.
Whatever it is,
because we've seen lots of kinds. But it's like, well, it's a new relationship, so I'm here. And then it's like, no, that's a bad answer. And then you get the courts that are like the same thing. No, that's a bad answer. You lose your kids now to some degree, right? No one's going to just pluck the kids out for no reason.
No, I have a client that I coach. He's been divorced for quite some time. But the separation of the home, the physical separation from each other, I think the week after they separated was their son's birthday.
Oh.
And a new woman was in the family home baking him a cake.
Yeah, that's probably a bad call.
Bad call. Yeah. And she, 3 years later, still stings. She's still angry. She's still mad.
Is that person still in the picture?
Yes.
That's my
mind. So it's been a very tough transition, or they can't co-parent well. They're back and forth to court. Because of the emotion and the anger.
And it's so expensive. I mean, like the old thing we used to say is like, who do you want to pay to go to school? You want to pay for our kids to go to school or your kids? Because the amount of money they put behind some of these emotional fights.
Right.
It's astronomical and it's often just stupid, just dumb.
And we understand that emotions are part of it. We're asking people to take a very emotional, life-changing event. Put the emotions aside and make business decisions and logical ones at that.
Yes.
So it's a very difficult ask, but that's why there are therapists, there are divorce coaches, there are people to handle that area. And you should never make a decision until you can make one without emotion, but with logic.
Yeah. So let's kind of use that piggyback on the last piece of this visitation world, right? The actual visitation plan itself. People fight over this so much, right? There's no way to minimize the impact. Obviously, the daily schedule is going to have an impact on everything.
Right.
And the biggest impact on the actual timeshare is probably dollars.
I was going to say, and that segues into support, because many people think if I have the kids more, I get more money or I pay less money. That's the area.
They're generally correct.
Right.
And it sucks because what we usually see is and we'll make it a gender-based thing for purposes of the discussion, but the Disneyland dad scenario where they've never been a part of anything and now they want to be involved in everything, and it was only because support got brought up.
Right, so they don't want to pay support.
Or
as little as possible.
Right, and the reality on some of this is the court really can't look at that fact. So they have to take like this approach of, we won't believe that unless you jam it in our face. It just becomes a dead argument that the courts won't really accept.
What would be an example of jamming it in their face? Have you ever seen a case?
Yeah, so it would be where it's very clear. I don't know. You'd have the text messages that are just nailing it. Look, you went after me for support, so I'm going after the kids 50-50. Stuff like that where it's so obvious the courts can't ignore it.
They can't deny or ignore.
But what tends to happen is one spouse will say, he's only doing this for support. She's only doing this to pay less support. And the courts are going to go, do you have proof? The other side's going to be like, that's not true. And the court's going to be like, let's move on. Because at some point, if a kid ever sees this stuff, right, like that would destroy the child. And the court's trying not to do these kind of things.
And if the benefit of this trying to skirt the system is somebody gets to spend more time with the child, mm-hmm. and the child gets a good relationship with both parents.
And from the court side, that's the
win.
Best. Yeah, the court's wanting the frequent and continuing contact, which means they want both parents to be involved. Like right. The society as a whole, right? Like all of us want everyone raised by their parents. Like
100%.
Now, there's exceptions and there's outliers. There's always things that go, well, he's a bad guy or she's a bad lady. Yes, of course.
Nobody wants their children in a bad situation.
Not most cases. And that's the part where, like, people's interpretation of bad, you know, the court sees everything, guys. So the cases where he may be 10 minutes late to something or takes him an extra 4 hours to text back may not be enough to remove his visits that you want to remove. Because that's not really that bad in what they see. I think having that mindset of they're going to compare your case to every case also. These are people that also have kids. Be practical in your arguments, and that will help you be realistic on the outcomes. And then usually you secure, you know, the success you're looking for. It's always what's best for the kids. If there's someone, right. We had a case where we represented a pilot. And pilots are notoriously difficult to get on a schedule because they're subject to the plane, right? Like where they go is
weather changes and all the things. I've had clients that were pilots too, and just having a meeting with them was a little rough.
It's really difficult.
Not so, because they're trying to be obstinate.
Nope.
It's just a rough schedule.
And firefighters, you know, police officers, nurses, these people have
service members,
difficult schedules to work around, and the courts aren't going to punish these people for doing their jobs. And they want to make sure that they're parenting. And these are some of the hardest cases because people will go, but that's not fair to me. And it's not. And that part sucks. But the reality tends to be it was okay while you guys were in a relationship. And now that it's not the relationship, it's not okay. And that's where the court draws issue. And that's the part where it's like, if you're going to come and make your argument that they're not involved, do it in a way that's respectful. Because that's always the thing, right? Like with firefighters, especially during fire season in California, right? Like we have obviously a lot of things where we start going approaching saying firefighters are awful people. Well, that's a bad approach. You're going to piss the court off. And frankly, that's not the right answer regardless is generalizing things. But if it's his schedule or her schedule is they're gone for 2 weeks at a time, the answer is not that they lose their visits. The answer is, okay, well, during those 2 weeks, they can stay with you.
And that doesn't mean they're a bad parent. And it doesn't mean they're choosing not to be there.
Correct.
We're just saying the schedule isn't best for the child right now.
For that period of time. And for the people that I see when we get those cases and they're like, I want sole custody and this and that. I'm just like, you're crazy because they didn't do anything. Now, if the firefighter instead of fighting fires is, you know, doing meth, Sure.
Or starting the fires.
Or starting like the fires. This is his fire season. He's starting the fires. That's different. Right. And that's where I think the distinction is we have to approach things from a practical part, from a realistic part, because kids are people. Like, everyone's alive and we have to go. Life moves. So is the thing we're doing bad? And then if so, we stop the bad. And then we should stop the bad in the least invasive way to the kid. That's our approach, at least, right?
Like 100%. And I want to circle back. You said, you know, the parent takes 4 hours to respond to a text mm-hmm. or is 10 minutes late for a visitation exchange. Mm-hmm. Now, I've always tried to impart, okay, if you want to go to court on these things, that's certainly your option.
Sure.
But think of it if the other parent did that to you. Sometimes you can't respond to a text. Sometimes you're stuck in traffic.
Sure.
So if you're going to be perfect all the time mm-hmm. and we're not going to accept anything less from the other parent, then go ahead, see what the court wants to do. Yeah. But be careful, because you have to think, will I ever be late? Do I want them to give me a little bit of grace?
And
what happens?
How do you want your life?
Right.
Right. Because it... For the cases that we have repeat clients, right? We have cases that come back time and time again.
Which, or just won't die.
Just won't die. And it sounds wonderful from a business standpoint, but these people are miserable.
Right.
Everything is, should we go to court over this? And the answer is always, why are we talking about it? What happened? Is there some plausible resolution here? Because there's always going to be attorneys that will take your case and run the court. The reality is, once the case is done and we're done with the client, we're not hanging out. We move on to the next case. This is still your life, right? And you have to constantly think about that. If you're asking the person that you're paying, should I do this? Be cautious when the answer is yes, right? Because at some point, that's what you're asking them to do.
Right. And what's their motivation?
And what's their motivation?
We do have settlement mindset when that's what's best for the client.
Yeah. It's
resolve things unless you can. Because we want to just incur fee after fee after fee and do the wrong thing. That's not the way it goes.
It's not the right thing for life, because you still have to deal with this. We walk away, you don't. And it's a mindset you have to have.
Right.
Because we have seen people, and this is, you know, you go back to, was a new spouse involved? Yes. New things where they're ready to go to trial over, it was a Tuesday 2-hour argument. Trial. I mean, we're talking about trial over 2 hours.
And the argument lasted 2 hours?
No. The fight was over a 2-hour difference on a Tuesday.
Are you kidding me?
No, 100% serious. And the judge stopped us because I was in there. I couldn't. He was in pro per. I represented her. And new husband was trying to prove dominance over the old father of the kids.
It was a pissing contest.
And I had to pull everyone out in the hallway and talk to everybody. And went, I represent you, but you're being fucking dumb. Went to the other side, said, what are you doing? This is going to destroy you both. And I'm going to have to go after you for fees. Like, it was literally like I was done. And then we went back in front of the judge, and she had said something to the effect of, thank God you did that, because I was about to light everybody up. And it was like, yep. Because at some point, guys, how dumb, right? Because these custody orders can be changed any day. Like, really, right. like you could have an order and go back to court the next day. Now, again, something would have had to happen, but things happen all the time, and change what you just spent 20 grand on at trial.
Right.
And that's the part that it may be a win,
but it very well could be a temporary win.
Right. And it's so dumb. And it's one of those like, okay, if we're fighting over 2 hours, can we cut it in half, make it 1 hour, and everybody moves on? And that's what ended up happening. Like, it was just like, you give an hour, you take an hour, nobody will feel the impact of this.
Or take 2 hours next week.
It's just.
And one of the things that I really appreciate about you and not only the firm is that you don't just run to court for anything because it's good for the bottom line of the business. It's really about what's best for the client. And I've always really appreciated that.
We could make,
but I also like that you go to court and say, Judge, this is dumb.
I have no problem.
No, I know. And that's one of the things I appreciate. And yes, we've seen attorneys get huge paydays.
Yep.
But their clients are miserable people because of it.
Yeah, they don't realize what they're doing. I think that's the problem.
The people
don't know.
No, they have no idea.
They're being led
because
blindly.
They're being pumped up. Yeah. And yes, you're right. And their ego's massaged and they're led in this direction. And when you're vulnerable and emotional, and let's face it, we're never more vulnerable than when our family's in jeopardy, ever.
Yeah, that's fair. That is
and
absolutely
so
fair.
We 100% get it. And it's very easy to be swayed, especially when you're putting all your faith in an expert who is supposed to be there to advocate for you, to do what's best for you, to care for you. So, it, you know, to kind of wrap this up, I guess, hopefully you've learned something about custody. Hopefully you're not going through that. Or if you are, you can peacefully co-parent and agree with the other parent. If not, we're here. But also be careful who you listen to for advice. Your friends and family are wonderful, and I'm sure they've had their own experience, but this is your divorce, your marriage. Don't let them be a part of it. And if you're working with an expert and something doesn't feel right, or you're spending gobs of money to get nowhere and there's no resolve or peace in the near future, maybe ask yourself, am I with the right person? Maybe rethink it.
Yeah.
Trust your gut.
You can always change.
And never, never make permanent decisions based on temporary emotions. The emotions will fade. The decisions will be forever.
Yeah, that's a great ending.
All right, guys. We hope you enjoyed. We hope you learned something and inspired and entertained. Go out and be nice to yourself, nice to others, and have a great day. We'll see you next time.
See you guys.